This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to everyone for Wednesday, November 14th, 2012. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm waiting out the end of the world here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
We were just talking about that before the show. We're in countdown. It's, what, 4 or 5 weeks away? 5 weeks. There's a lot of chatter about it. We'll talk about it later. So, good to be here, Doug. Another great topic. I look forward to it.
Yeah, we welcome everyone tonight. We're going to be talking tonight on the program about exploring your human experience. Interesting topic once you kind of get into it and kind of talk about what it actually means, which we will certainly do that. But we do welcome all of our live listeners, the multitudes of live listeners, and the even greater multitudes of archive listeners. So glad you could join
us. It's increasing every week, and we're so grateful. It's very exciting for us, actually.
Mm-hmm. So we're glad you spent some time with us each week, or when you do, we appreciate that. We'll get to our program in just a moment. Before we do that, let's do the regular profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those problems lies in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information about these 9 principles of belief and for other information, just visit mchschurch.org. And of course, this program is Metaphysical Universe. It's a service, a weekly service, an educational program of MCHS Church. That is the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to this educational program, we also operate a school, IMHS, the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. The web address is metaphysicsinstitute.org, where you can earn your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. And so we talk about metaphysics, which is essentially consciousness and existence, and it covers a broad area. And tonight we are going to be talking about exploring your human experience. And that's titled that way for a very different reason, exploring your human experience. This is really a great topic because it helps us to kind of zero in on our own individual experience, and in by so doing, we essentially accept responsibility for who we are, and that's what we want to also stress tonight, too. One thing that I'll say couple of things I'll say to get us kind of started on this topic here. If you have a comment, you're welcome to post it in the chat room. If you'd like to call in, you can, of course, as always. Dr. John Hightower manning the phones there, and the numbers are on your screen. The one thing that I want to kind of use to set the tone of this is there's something called qualia. Qualia is simply a subjective experience. If you've never been on a roller coaster, and I try to describe what it's like to go on a roller coaster, I can only go so far. You won't really know it until you've tried it. And once you've tried it, that's that subjective experience. That's qualia. And so each one of us, we all have our subjective experiences, things that we've done that, you know, only really we can know because we have done them. Other people can know them too, but they might differ slightly, but kind of the same thing. But qualia are those subjective experiences. And so when we're talking about exploring your human experience, we're really talking about qualia. Vicky.
So what if I don't want to jump out of a plane?
Then you will not know what it's like to fall.
Well, exactly. I'm afraid of heights. But what is it then if I have an opinion of something that I have not experienced? And then, because it conjures up emotions for me. What would that be? It's still subjective. It's still qualia, but in a different way, don't you think?
Well,
or is that just pushing it too far, like just being judgmental and critical, or, you know?
Well, and a lot of people are that. I mean, they don't walk in somebody's shoes, you know? It's like, you know, until you've walked in their shoes, don't complain too much, you know? And that's the whole point of qualia. You know, if you haven't walked in somebody's shoes, and honestly, we really haven't technically walked in anybody's shoes, or literally probably for that matter, but we could have similar experiences. If we both go on the roller coaster, we're both going to have that experience, yet we might define it. Some people might love it. Other people might be terrified of it and never go again. So it all comes back to, you know, those unique things that make us up, the nurture via nature. You know, our infinite combination of, genes and upbringings and just our belief system, the biases that we hold. You know, we filter everything through those. So we can be judgmental. You know,
I think just to help everybody out, the other day, Doug and I were having a discussion about that prompted the show, the topic for tonight. And it kind of got started by all the different kinds of students from all over the world who are enrolled with IMHS, Metaphysics Institute, and the different kinds of people. And there doesn't seem to really be anything that we could say, oh, there it is, that's the kind of people here, or there it is, so that's the kind of people. You know, we have not been able to, and that's the beauty of IMHS, actually. What we can, I think, safely say is that people who are looking for answers, people who are looking for grounded, sensible, reasonable kinds of approaches to thinking about who we are and what we're looking at. And so that's what kind of got us going about everybody has their own experience. Everybody has their own very subjective view and their own reasons for wanting to pursue, you know, any kind of study, but particularly metaphysics. Physics, and it's a very broad field. I mean, it's a very, anything that is, like, not ordinary, I guess, as defined by the society. So it's, you know, we get all kinds of different ideas, and it's an extraordinary way to bring all kinds of people together who are looking for, you know, a better kind of, I guess, pathway to self-question. Is that kind of...
And that's exactly what IMHS is about. You know, IMHS is not your typical school nor your typical metaphysics school. A lot of people look at it or come into it thinking, oh, I'm gonna learn about all this fringe stuff. Well, no, we're going to address some different things because we are very open-minded here, but we still have our feet planted firmly on the ground. So they may come into it expecting whatever their preconceived notions are about what metaphysics is. But metaphysics is technically the study of consciousness and existence. So, gosh, so much comes into that. Well, you know, when I created this curriculum, I had some very definite viewpoints and perspectives on what I wanted to accomplish with this. And one thing about IMHS, one thing about what I do is if I've done it, you can pretty much bet the farm that I thunk it through pretty intensely and pretty thoroughly. And there's been an enormous amount of work gone into creating IMHS, the website, the curriculum, the courses, the way it works.
And years.
Yeah. Oh,
years
decades.
Of development.
Yeah,
many
decades.
Years. Yeah.
And everything is based on the life leadership paragon, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect, free will, and self-completeness. And so everything hinges around that, revolves around the life leadership paragon. And so when I created the school, it was about, I asked the question, okay, metaphysics, consciousness and existence, all right. Well, consciousness, that's fascinating. What about existence? I mean, I could argue that if you're in the throes of a dysfunctional alcoholic relationship, you're probably not too concerned with consciousness. In fact, you would like to be unconscious. So, you know, the point is, what about practical life skills? You see, you cannot. I'm laughing because it's true.
You know, whenever we're in a difficult situation and one that we've just exhausted all the ideas within our own frame of reference, we just want to go to sleep. You know, turn out the lights and I'm out of here. You know?
Well, it's like Maslow's hierarchy.
Unconscious. Yeah.
Maslow's hierarchy. Basically, if you don't have food and water, you don't really care about, the job or anything else. You don't really care about what's going on in the world or anything else. If you don't have shelter, the basic human needs, if you don't have those, you know, personal growth is just not a huge deal. I mean, you can't. You're focused on how am I going to get my next meal? How am I going to find water? How am I going to put a roof over my head? So Maslow's hierarchy talks about we got to satisfy those basic human needs first, and then as we satisfy those, we move up to the next level and so on and so forth. And that's when we get into the personal growth and the self-actualization, which is the goal. And so when I put this whole school together, I said, okay, consciousness and existence, we're going to have to lay some foundation here, because people can't even study the more advanced areas of consciousness until they've learned practical life skills. Because if you're miserable at work because you have no people skills, we have a problem. If you are floundering in your relationships because you don't have relationship or communication skills, then we have a problem. You can't even think about, you know, the other more advanced topics of metaphysics. So I lay down those basic life skills in the bachelor's program, and I teach those. Those serve as the foundation of everything else. And so I know where I was going with this initially, but the point is that this whole experience, and it's really what this whole program tonight is about, is exploring your human experience. And I've just been kind of giving you some ideas, planting some seeds here. We have to be self-aware. We have to stop doing this, eking out a living, living from week to week, day to day, hour to hour, not really concerned with things because we are just so programmed to eke out this living, eke out this existence. And we've got to open up our minds more. Hopefully it's a given that you've got food in your belly and a drink in your hand or water or whatever, you know, your shelter over your head, you get all that stuff. But we can't just stop there. You know, we can't be so consumed or over-involved with all the latest gadgets, the latest toys, escapism type stuff. We have to really take a stop and take a look at who we are. And here's a big point of this whole discussion, another foundational point of this discussion, is we're all on our own journey, our own path. And we don't probably often think of it that way. You know, what is your path trying to teach you? What's your path trying to tell you? You know, there's a lot of lessons, and a lot of people essentially overlook these beautiful opportunities to learn these life lessons simply because of other stuff. For example, I've had students who, you know, miss huge lessons because they can't take a hit, and I should be a little more specific. Maybe they fail an exam, and there's a huge lesson here. Why'd you fail it? Well, I studied really hard, and I'm just not happy with it. I thought I did a good job, and they're missing the whole point. You know, you've got to look for the lessons in between the lines, and that's a great way to look at life. What are the lessons in between the lines? If you're in a miserable relationship, what are the lessons? This is your experience. Learn those
equally,
lessons.
Doug. Equally, people have, let's say, a very good relationship. They have food. They have a roof over their heads. There are some people who are comfortable. And year after year, they're comfortable. You know, they raise the kids. They send them to school. And they do all those so-called right things. They have an agenda. They're motivated to fulfill that agenda. And then they go, well, now what?
Mm-hmm.
What's the meaning of life? What is the meaning of my life?
And
I did all this.
More
and
accurate thing. What's the meaning of
exactly.
my life? Not what's the meaning of life.
Exactly. And so no matter the where you're at in the journey, you have your own reasons for asking the questions. But the point is that you do ask the questions. And that's what we encourage. I encourage that to everybody. You know, it's like, what do you think? Ask the question, what do you think? You know, my big pet peeve, as you well know, Doug, is don't quote a book to me. What do you think?
Yep.
I mean, I'm glad you read the book. I'm glad it stimulated thinking. But that's not what if I wanted to know that, I'd go read the book myself. But I want to know what you think as a result of having read that book. So, you know, it's more that free thinking into, you know, it's just that inspiration to say, what is the value of my life? What is the meaning of my life? You know, some things are just a mystery. And I make peace with the mystery. It's like, what was I thinking when I beamed onto this planet? Although I make jokes about it all the time. You know, I picked Earth. Why did I pick Earth? I wonder. You know, what planet will I choose the next time? Actually, they have, astronomers have now found, they claim, they've located another Earth-like planet. And I sent the link to Doug the other day and say, hey, here's our new vacation spot. So we'll take a little tour on another planet for our vacation. But, you know, it's, again, finding the humor about life and why we're here, because some things are just a mystery. Why does that happen? I have no idea. You know, and I think we put far too much emphasis on coming up with absolute answers that we lose our ability to critically think. And so we want to get something, hold on to it, and say, oh, there it is, and put it in a file and go next. But we're not assimilating a bigger picture of who we are. Now, what does it mean, who am I? You know, I think that's the hook. No matter who you are, where you're at, you know, it's, you know, what questions you're asking, who am I? Who am I? You know, okay, we're star stuff. You know, it's like principle number 4, Doug, you talk about unique beings and, you know, we're all star material. Well, so what? Okay, we're all star material and we're unique. Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm a soul and a body, but what does that mean? Who am I? You know, it's like, okay, and you peel away those layers to, you know, start asking, at least certainly I have done that in my life, just who am I? And just, I can only speak, again, qualia, you know, from my own experience, is that my mind, through these eyes, has its own experience and its own view of the world. But I also have a view of myself. It's like understanding how I process information, how I'm more auditory, visual. I'm not really good at reading a book and remembering all that data, and I'm really lousy at remembering names. I don't know why. It's just never been important to me anyway to bother. So it's just knowing those certain characteristics, if you will, that how I think or how I process. So okay, then I peel another layer away. I'm a spiritual being in a body. I have a very unique mind. Ah, okay, now I can accept that. Now, what does that mean? You know, and go from there. It's that step by step by step to be esteemed in myself, to accept who I am. Because it's just the construction, I think, of who I am in this lifetime, and then step by step from there, which is always to keep pursuing the education of who I am. You know, I've been what I think is not a bad writer. I'm not a great writer, but I'm not a bad writer. I've been a professional writer since first published in 1980, and yet I go to IMH school and I go, oh, crap, I'm learning how to write. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Well, here I was at 55 saying, I'm learning how to write for the first time. That's exciting. You know, because I write because it's such a challenge for me and how my mind works. So now I've got more information about myself, not necessarily just everything about the world. I have more information about myself. Everything that I have ever read, studied, thought I knew, I'm having to look at it in a whole new way. And that's exciting. Good. So it never ends.
And
you know,
that's
so
good.
I think this is where.
But see,
yes, absolutely.
That's kind of part of the answer.
Experience.
Exactly. It's kind of the answer to part of the answer to that question. What does it mean to be human? Well, we're talking about what it means to be human. Everything we're doing is what it means to be human. If you look at the world, that's what it means to be human. If you look at human nature, perhaps like me, maybe it fascinates you, while at the same time frustrating you beyond belief. It can, but it's fascinating. Human behavior is fascinating. It's impossible to understand it completely, but we observe it, and we still trying to figure out what makes it us tick as human beings, and that's part of this. What does it mean to be human? Well, it means to laugh and love and cry and grow, really. It means to grow, to become complete within yourself. The bigger question, though, what does it mean to be the human that you are? This is what we're trying to bring out of this whole program. Think about that question. What does it mean to be who you are? Let that slowly simmer for a moment. Think about it. What does it mean? You know, what about your life? What about your unique individual experiences? So many people put themselves down terribly. You know, well, I'm just not that important. I'm just not that interesting. Well, I think we talked about that before. Yeah, you know, the fact is, and Vicki, I know we have, because I remember you saying you're the most interesting person you know, and I happen to actually agree with that concept. I'm the most interesting person I know, and you're very interesting too. But shouldn't that be the way it is, folks? You know, shouldn't you be one of the most interesting people you know, or the most? What about your life? And I've been doing a lot of thinking, especially today on this whole topic, and I've reflected back on experiences in my life, things that I'd gone through, or places I'd been that were special, that were unique, that were interesting, that were lovely, that were delightful, you know. That even brings up the delightful things of life. What are your delightful things of life? What are your unique experiences? You know, if we were sitting on a plane taking a trip, what could you tell me that's really interesting and unique about you? You know, you got to look at things like this. What does it mean to be you? That's a great question. And if we got to know the answer to that question. I mean, I could sit here all night and tell you about things, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, I've done some interesting things, and that's just who I am. I mean, at a very early age, I was inspired by Da Vinci, you know, very eclectic. He was an artist. He was an inventor. He was an engineer. He was a writer. He was all kinds of stuff. And I always found that it just intrigued me. It just really gelled with me. And so that's what I've been doing all my life, doing all kinds of stuff, scuba diving, you know, paranormal stuff, professional speaking, teaching, gosh, writing, the list goes on and on and on, flying, you know, boating, building, it just goes on and on. I mean, I want to experience it all. because it's so cool.
Go ahead. I've had a bit of a reputation in my life for what's she doing now.
That's good.
And you know, you started out like intrigued by Da Vinci. I was kind of intrigued by witches and goblins myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and we all have things that you know get us going and inspire us. And where kind of what the venue is, you know, and how we process that venue. You know, it's kind of like if somebody is very artistically inclined. You know, I talked with a young girl the other day, actually. Her mom's a bit concerned about her. She's 17 in high school, loves horses, but she also loves art. There's a lot of people in her life who don't think that that's necessarily a realistic journey. And yet, I said, well, what do you want to do first? You can do both. What do you want to do first? You know, do you want to get into different kinds of, let's say, equine therapy and maybe draw pictures of horses? Or do you want to go the artistic route first and maybe pursue graphics and build websites for people who have horses? You know, she goes, oh. You see, it was outside her, you know, initial thinking. But what I loved about it, what I think had happened during that conversation is that she was inspired. You know, she already had her start point, but she kind of let those other barriers fall away just a little bit, where she could pursue her own unique journey. Like, that's your own journey. Who am I to tell you, well, that's just unrealistic. You should go and get a real job. Be a Walmart greeter. That's it. And there's nothing wrong with being a Walmart greeter, everybody, I'm telling you. But it's however you fit into your own journey. I've done a lot of stuff, too. Actually, I was tweaking my bio on my website the other day, and I got tired reading it, Doug. You know, getting older and saying, oh man, I'm getting a little tired reading this. But I've done a lot of stuff. So I'm sure everybody could look back at their life at some point. I think even when you're 20, 25, 30, you can relatively look back and say, well, I've done some stuff. You know, I've heard people say, well, I haven't really done anything. Okay, what have you done? Well, not much. Because they aren't seeing the significance of each moment or each, you know, event or each thing. They're not giving themselves the credit for having participated in something quite extraordinary, which is their own life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. Everybody does something significant, but they just don't see it significant because they're comparing it to other people. And that's a sure trouble, as far as I'm concerned. Trouble.
And that's a good point. We have a caller. Jay is on the line from Canada. Welcome, Jay.
Hey, hello. Good evening.
Thanks for calling in. You have a comment or question?
Well, comment and question, yes, I do. About the human experience, very interesting topic because not very much people talk about that.
Right.
But you're just saying about where you're talking about, you know, the human experience. I think we, how would you say, it's we always compare it to the last generation in some way.
Right.
And I'm finding this time appeared, including myself. I don't know about you, how we look at our parents and. And, you know, they did the best they can, but they learned mm-hmm. from their parents and their parents and their parents, mm-hmm. you know, long, long time, mm-hmm. you know, how what the human experience is all about. So I think the new paradigm is, you know, I think people are discovering and waking up, we call about waking up, is who are they? What is, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing on this earth? What, I think that's
mm-hmm.
part of
sure.
the human experience is what is
absolutely.
Our sole purpose? Because I don't think we're here to suffer.
Mm.
Okay. Right, and I think it's about a balancing of the good, bad, happy, sad, if you want to call it that. I think we're here to learn all those emotional experiences, but not to the point where we, I should say, not have to, but just experience them.
I agree with you. I mean, I've always said, well, you know, why do we have to go through these problems? I mean, who said we had to have these serious issues or problems in our life? And it comes back down to the choices we've made. And that's how we learn. It's part of that human experience. So, well stated.
Yeah,
you know, I have a question for Jay.
Sure.
At what point, like, were you inspired, Jay? Like, in your journey, at what point can you kind of describe or do you remember when you were interested in learning more about life and yourself? Was there a point in time where you started to separate yourself a little bit from others to say, I'm important or I want to know about me? Do you know what I'm asking?
Yes, I do. I can say the date and year would be actually August of 2003 and into September and October 2003. And I think that's monumental, where I was actually just learning about stuff, learning what is it to be, you know, me, and what is it, you know, lessons and stuff like that. I was accumulating a lot of information at a time where I actually almost got burnt out. It took me almost 2.5 years to read, you know, Conversations with God, the book, until later on, you know, in a year after that or 2 years after I finished the book and in no time flat, because I understand some of the material that was, you know, speaking inside there. But that was my, you know, my moments there. And I did a lot of, you know, crying and things like that too, you know, just to release some stuff. But the human experience at that time period was more about exploration of myself. You know, what is it to be, you know, what is the feelings are you getting, and what is it to learn about new deities or, you know, angels and stuff like that at that time. So that, I can say that's my human experience, my human experience, not, you know, someone else's. So, yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Well, good.
That's awesome, Jay.
Well, did you have another comment or a question you wanted to ask before we move on?
Yeah, well, yes, I do. I find that the people's human experience right now is, especially down in the States, because the economy is kind of bad there, is that, you know, they're always, it's hard to say, but, you know, everyone's going through some sort of thing right now. I think that's, we can collectively say that everyone's going through something now, with good, bad, happy, and sad, okay? And I feel that's just part of our, you know, growing up, I think, right now, too. And I think our human experience is also about our, you know, what did we learn in a previous lifetime, if you believe in reincarnation, that are we in a graduation period right now of that human experience that we learned before? What did we learn before in that human experience? You know, so it's graduation time, I think.
Well, it's about time, you know, because we're going to be dying here in 5 weeks, so I would hope we'd before we do that, you know. December 21st is coming on us fast. Can't believe it's green by.
I know. I appreciate what Jay is saying, but I'd like to throw something in. I had a little, on Facebook today, I had a little, you know, chat going back and forth, and John Hightower, thankfully, you know, jumped in and had a few comments about, there was a point made anyway about curiosity, even in and of itself, is contagious. And perhaps there's a momentum for people to want to know more about metaphysics, existentialism, and so on, you know, and tuning into a bigger frequency, you know, and it's just the curiosity in and of itself is magnifying the thought. Like, are we just by curiosity making consciousness change? Which I think there's truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And part of that conversation came as a result of, I was asking, putting it out there about, you know, how does the eclipse, the new moon, you know, and the cycle we're in, how does that affect people? How does that energy translate to daily life? So it was, you know, it's just one of those really interesting questions, and that, you know, propelled down to, yes, we are in a change, but are we creating the change?
See, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, well, so I appreciate what Jay is saying.
Yeah, Jay, thanks so much for calling in. It was good to have
you. You're welcome. Look forward to listening to the rest of the show on this topic.
Sounds great. I'll put you back on hold, and you can listen or listen online.
Thank you.
All right. So we talking about this whole human experience thing, and that's the beauty of this. Everything you do is part of your human experience. But now, can we control that, or can we direct it, maybe a better word? You know, put some direction to our human experience. And the answer is absolutely yes. We can take responsibility for our choices. That's part of it. And we can also dig a little deeper, think critically about where we're at and how we got here, and look for the bigger lessons in life, the bigger picture. One of the things I've told so many students over the years is look for the lessons in between the lines. I know I mentioned that a little bit earlier in the show, but look for the lessons in between the lines. Because going through, for example, IMHS curriculum, where we have to adjust, where we have to kind of get into the stride, can reveal things about us that we need to address. And that comes up a lot. And if we're not kind of prone to thinking, okay, what's the lesson in this? Why is this causing me consternation or discomfort or annoyance or whatever the feeling is, the emotion is? Why am I feeling this? What is the lesson in this? And this is something that needs to be done. I mean, many of us do this. I mean, look for the lessons. If you're upset about something, why? What do you need to learn? If you're annoyed by somebody, why? What needs to change, if anything? What needs to be learned? It just goes on and on. But you've got to look for those lessons. That's so important. Remember, we're all on our own path. We're on our own journey. And as we mentioned a little bit ago, it's not what's the purpose of life. That's an irrelevant question. The better question is, what's the purpose of my life? What's the meaning in my life? And that's where this introspection comes into play, to learn these lessons and to understand that we're all the same. This is one thing I think that so many people just don't even think of or just assume that other people are different. It's not true. We're all the same. We all have our likes or dislikes or things that we find, I mean, foods that we like, foods that we hate, people that we like, people that we hate, whatever. We all are the same that way. We're all trying to make sense of life. We all have those questions: where we come from, where are we going, how do we get here? You know, what is the meaning of all this stuff? Because when you really get deep into it, a lot of it doesn't make sense. Why do we live on a planet where everything eats everything else? You know, whose brainy idea was that? You know,
I love that.
Just the stuff, you know. And why was I sent here? You know, when I clearly requested a different planet. Oh, I don't think.
What was I thinking? What was I thinking when I came here? I agreed to come here. I say, I believe that. At some level, our consciousness agrees to manifest into this incarnation. That's, I think, in the responsibility of the soul, there's something to be said for that. So, I mean, but there's so many different ways.
It could be true. It could be.
You know, it could be. And that's just it. Everything's a theory. But here's in keeping with what you're saying, Doug, when I try to impact, of course, because I've been obsessive with this in my life, to stay grounded, what does that mean to my everyday life? Whatever I have learned, whatever I have explored, whatever book or movie or, yoga or anything else, you know, what does it mean to my life? How does that make my life better? How does it make me a better human being to live a better life? You see, because I think here's what I see is a real issue for folks. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. So I know it makes me sound judgmental. I'm not judging. I'm observing. Many people who go to explore the human experience, explore it in a way that is separate, meaning you're aspiring to something out there. Aspiring to something over there, you know, you're going to aspire to the light of whomever, and you know, you're going to want to have a consciousness like, oh, whomever, Gandhi, pick one. You know, there's how many philosophers and, you know, so-called messiahs. I want to have a consciousness like them. I want to aspire to that. I just want to aspire to be more of me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want the light
be
of Christ.
Be the best you can be.
I want my own light. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. Now, some people who, again, are looking for life outside themselves, and again, I'm not judging. It's the observation. Think those people have looked at me and thought that I am arrogant and that I am, you know, just a little bit too self-righteous. I say,
well,
I'm the only one. I'm just the only one who lives in here, Doug. That's what I say.
As far as you
I'm
know.
I'm the only one who's in this. Well, yeah, I have visitors.
Stop that.
But, Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I am my own mind. I want my own mind. And I think for me in this lifetime, for sure, is that I want a free mind. And a free mind means a lot of debriefing. You know, a free mind means, you know, filtering through a lot of stuff that has been in my environment or I've been taught or, you know, it's just commonplace that I really don't want any part of. You know, but I have to recognize what that is first to know and discern what I want to keep for myself. And it's a lot of work. Look, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It takes some effort. But as I see it, I got nothing better to do in here, meaning in my own mind.
You're funny. I'm the only one in here. No, you're not.
But it's true. That's the human experience. You see, there's a lot of things that people do that I don't get it because I'm too busy in here. You know, I'm thinking, I'm creating, I'm writing, I'm thinking, you know, and, you know, Vicki, what were you just thinking? Oh, well, trust me, you don't want to know. You know, I'm off on some other planet for a minute, you know, but because I find thought and existence of thought fascinating. I find the human condition fascinating. I find the human experience fascinating. I find the planet fascinating. You know, universal thought is fascinating. But then I want to bring all of that that's so fascinating into my own mind and say, wow, how I just saw that is really fascinating. Gee, I'm fascinating. I'm fascinating my fascinating, you know, because I'm the only one who lives in here. That's my experience.
So I'm going to put that question again back out to the audience. What does it mean to be you? You know, what does it mean to be Doug? Well, I could sit here and tell you what it means to be Doug. You know, what's going on in my world? Well, what's going on in your world? And think about that for a minute and open that up. Not only answer it for yourself, but what about other people, people around you? What's going on in their world? You know, what challenges do those that you care about, what are they facing? Or just people in general. Never forget we're all the same. We all have these challenges we face, some more intense, some less intense. But we all have these challenges, all these questions to answer. So expand your awareness out to the universe, really to the world, to others. Never forget, do no harm, do right. You know, and learn the lessons along your spiritual path. If something happens, well, there's a lesson in it. It's like I've quoted so many times before on John Allen in the book As a Man Thinketh. Once you learn the spiritual lesson contained in any circumstance, that circumstance will pass and, you know, open you up to more circumstances that have other lessons. So whenever you're in a situation you don't like, what's the lesson in it? You know, whenever you have a feeling that you don't like, or you got some emotion, some anger, some resentment, some stress, whatever it is, why? What's the lesson for me? What does this mean to my human experience? This is good stuff, folks. We have to think about it. And it propels us, just like Vicki was saying. It helps us to be even better tomorrow than we were yesterday. And you know what? When you get thinking like this and you begin to understand that everybody's just like us, everybody has their challenges, everybody's doing the best they can with what they have to work with right here and now, the knowledge, the experience, and so forth, you get a little more empathy. You get a little more compassion. And as Jay, the caller, a little bit ago, talking about how, you know, our parents learn from their parents, we learn from our parents, and so on and so forth, that is obviously true. And now we have this, you know, most wondrous invention of the internet that brings us all closer together, allows us to share our thoughts and kind of basically lift each other up. We all kind of lift ourselves up because we've got so many great thinkers out there and they share that stuff. But I remember just part of my human experience. I remember years ago, you know, my dad was always my, you know, I mean, I looked up to my dad. He was just besides being my dad, my father, he was my mentor. I mean, I trusted him, and I trusted him to have the right take on things. I trusted him to have the right view, a balanced view on things. And I remember through my 20s, my 30s, that was about about three and a half years ago. Yeah. Well, I remember through my 20s and 30s thinking, man, what would I ever do if my dad died? You know, who would I go to? Who would I talk to? Who could I trust to have a balanced and reliable view on things? You know, and I'm talking about help with problems or just seeing things, maybe challenges at work or whatever. And I just couldn't even imagine that. And then one day something happened. Well, a couple of things happened. The first thing that happened is I outgrew the need for that. Didn't need that anymore because I, with all due respect to my father, I outgrew where he was. And I made choices that he should have made in his life prior to that and didn't. And I did. And I outgrew him. Still a great man. In fact, I've just recently created I'm kind of in the process of creating a humanitarian award in his honor because he was one of the most generous people I've ever known and helped a ton of people. But what I'm saying is that my experience was, where do I go? Well, I don't need to go anywhere. I know who I am. I know why I am who I am. And I look for the lessons. I look to have a balanced view and a grounded view on things. And so the day came when I just no longer needed that. That was in my early 40s. And then, of course, my dad died not long after that. In fact, he just a little over 10 years ago that he passed. And he's been around here and there. And he knows what I'm doing. I mean, so much I've done. He taught me so much. But I took it and I ran with it. I mean, think about the Life Leadership Paragon, that whole concept of self-completeness. Those are my dad's words. You must be complete within yourself. He taught me that. He tried to teach me that for years, and he did. And I took it and I ran with it and I expanded it and I developed it. It's a beautiful model. It's just It's just simple. It's elegant, and it works. And so, what are you doing in the same way in your human experience? Are you taking what your folks taught you, and are you spit polishing it a little bit, expanding on it? One of the big things that I just shake my head when somebody says, "Well, that was the way I was raised." Well, yeah, we could all say that, but that doesn't make it right. So you got to think for yourself. Think for yourself. Don't just do it because that's the way we've always done it. And you don't necessarily need to reinvent the wheel, but you need to make sure that wheel is round. So take it.
You know,
there's
two things that I've heard that are, in my view, very powerful from what you've said, Doug. And the first one being that we have been given a lot of gifts from our parents.
Mm-hmm.
we all hear the boo-hoos of, you know, how we're raised, and we've all got a story. But there were some good stuff, and you got to find the gems and build on those gems. And the second thing that I've heard out of this is that we do learn from each other. And when you are in need of help and advice, go to someone who is going to help you to think for yourself. So those are the two kinds mm-hmm. of, you know, elements that I got out of what you're saying. That, you know, we all need each other, you know, and mm-hmm. even as you came into your own self-completeness, Doug, I feel that I am also, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean we don't need friends. You know,
yes.
I'm the first one to tell you, Doug and Tracy are as tight as any couple I've ever met in my life. You know, Tracy has friends, Doug has friends, we talk to each other, you know, I have a couple of people I talk to. It's like, geez, you know, I'm in a bit of a dilemma, or I'm having a bad day, you know, or something where we need each other. But hopefully it's looking to people who have, you know, who are inspiring to positive thoughts or curious thoughts or can pull out gems, like much like we've been given from our parents, even though we don't often enough see them.
Well, let's put that into perspective, because that's a good point. You know, I look at, and I've, of course, Tracy and I have been together since 1999, and this coming December 21st, the day of the end of the world, is actually our 13th wedding anniversary, but we were together before that a little bit. But anyway, Tracy and I have been together for a long, long time. And Vicky has been part of this whole thing for about the last year and a half now. And here's an interesting thing, okay? All the things that I've done that I'm proud of in terms of the school, the church, the Life Leadership Paragon, all the stuff I've written, you know, I developed EmpoweredRecovery.com, which is, and I wrote a book on alcoholic relationships from the non-alcoholic side of things, the codependent side of things. That was several years ago. There's nothing else like it. And all of my concepts were just being developed, and they've grown since. And, you know, I could have done all of this stuff and been damn good and just by myself. But you know what? Here's the synergistic part of it. You know, Tracy was there right along with me. She's kind of like the silent partner, if you will. You know, talked about everything with her, bat ideas around with her, bounce ideas at her. And she's always got some great stuff. And again, balanced, grounded, practical, you know, dependable and all that stuff. And then there's Vicky. You know, she's one of the finest counselors, spiritual counselors and psychics I've ever met. I mean, when I need that, I'll go to Vicky. Of course, I got Tracy too, and we've been working things out like this for years, but I don't trust anybody else. Vicky and Tracy. I mean, if I need to bounce something off, that's who I trust. And I'm telling you, I've met a lot of psychologists, but right now that's all I don't go to them. I'm ahead of them. I'm beyond them. And, you know, here's Vicky, who's an excellent spiritual counselor and psychic. And so, and that's just putting a little word out there. I mean, if you're looking, that's where you go. And so here's the synergistic thing. I am good. Yeah. I am damn good by myself, but I'm even better when there are people like Tracy and Vicky in my life. That's the synergy. So it's not going outside. It's just, it's what we do when we get together, people. We become a different entity.
You know, one of the things that in my work that when people come to me, I like us to make progress. You know, and what you were saying earlier about going to other counselors or other people, and just to kind of insert a little bit here, it's only because when we want a counselor, we actually want input, and we want to make that hour count. We want to make that 2 hours count. I want to make my visits count. I want to learn something. And that's kind of what Doug is getting to when he says I'm beyond that. He doesn't want to sit there and vent. He's got a wife for that. He wants to get to.
That was funny.
No offense.
A friend, really.
Tracy will get the humor of that. Yeah. So this is the difference between, I think, what I do is I want to make that hour count. I want to get to the work of it. And if you have some venting to do, I say phone a friend. Mm-hmm. Because I want to get to, you know, the bottom of it. Intuitively, I know the questions to ask that you can find those answers for yourself. And I just I just give you a whole bunch of new ideas. And you incorporate that into what you choose for yourself. Because honestly, I don't care. Your life is none of my business. I'm just a vehicle. I'm just a conduit. I'm going to offer myself up as best as I'm able to. Yeah, I'm just going to be your support for opening the mind and you being a better you. Equally, you know, I have support in my life to be a better me. And it's to look for those healthier, stimulating elements that fit into our own natural processing. Now, to be honest, Doug and I haven't agreed on everything, but we agree to disagree because he has his experience and I have my experience. We can banter ideas around so that we understand what each other's talking about. You know, it's like, I don't know what you're talking about, Vicky. but that's the challenge of finding new words when you're with someone you trust. Huge, huge thing.
Good point.
About being with people, and there's no judgment. There's not, you know, something come at you sideways or, You know, somebody's going to stab you in the back later. It's just a relaxing place to be. And this is where if we can join up more to be stimulating to one another without taking things to heart. Now, there's the huge one. Everybody, I would like it, you know, to be clear that there's a lot of times when I felt my ego and my pride and, you know, my feelings were a little bit hurt. But that's only my pride and my ego and my emotions of that moment where I've had to suck it up, you know, and it's just it's that simple. Am I a little embarrassed about some things? Yes. Can somebody kind of embarrass me? Yes, I've been there. But the more self-centered I get, and I mean that sincerely, the more centered I get in knowing who I am, the less that anything you can say is going to hurt my feelings. Because that's your opinion. And you don't know me.
And
so you're...
What you
here's
think of
me
is none of my business.
Yeah. I know we're at the end of the show, but, you know, if I can just insert, Doug and I had... I'm going to say this right out loud on the air. Doug and I had an instance not too long ago where I received an email from a former student trying to educate me about a woman not being bullied by a man like Doug on air on our radio shows. And I'm serious because she said, you tend to apologize to him. You know, if, you know, I say, oh, sorry, Doug, you know, because I've cut him off. She had this whole take on how I needed to learn something about not being second to a man. I have no idea where this woman came up with that stuff. Obviously, it's her issue, not my issue, not Doug's issue. Doug and I talked about this. For one thing, folks, I'm on a satellite internet. There is a delay. Often there's a delay. We have Skype gods that interfere once in a while. We do overlap when we're talking because through my headset, his headset, you know, and sometimes we don't quite know when to insert. So if I've stepped on Doug's words, I go, oops, sorry, Doug. I have no problem with that, you know, but I assure everybody I am not bullied. And if I am, that'll be the end of it. So, I mean, it's pretty simple. Because I don't take that stuff.
No.
Like, see, we have...
If you know Vicky, she doesn't take that. My Lord.
No, I don't take that stuff. But, see, here's the thing about Doug and I being cool with each other to say, wow, that's quite the take on it. But to be forgiving, to be, you know, kind in a way, however it might kind of throw us off our game for a second because we didn't see that one coming.
Right.
Still to know who we are. We know who we are.
And that's part of the human experience too. You know, when somebody says something like that, you think, gee, you know, am I really that way? And you explore it. You ask the question. Once you get to know yourself, you know, no, that's not who I am. You know, and so you've got somebody with an agenda, somebody with their own issues, their stuff, not your stuff. And so, well, time's passed very quickly, and some great thoughts we talked about tonight. We appreciate Jay calling in. We appreciate Dr. John Hightower screening our calls for us. Vicky, I appreciate you, and I appreciate the listeners tuning in either live or through the archives. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our brand of metaphysics, practical life skills, relationship skills, communication skills, and in addition to other specializing areas like counseling, coaching, paranormal, etc., visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. There's plenty of info there. If you'd like more information on MCHS Church, just put a .org behind that and you'll find yourself at mchschurch.org. We'll be back next week with another topic. That's all I got. Hope everybody has a great week. Vicky, you have a great week. Of course, I'll be talking to you soon. So, good night, everybody.